In Portland, Oregon, protests against police brutality and racism have continued for over 50 consecutive days. The Trump administration has recently responded by deploying federal officers, some of whom are unidentifiable and driving unmarked vehicles, to arrest those protesters. And that's been happening since at least July 14th, according to local reports. So far, more than 400 protesters have been arrested since May. We're joined by Jonathan Levinson, a reporter for Oregon Public Broadcasting based out of Portland. Jonathan, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So I started seeing early reports of these officers, I don't know how we would characterize them, dressed in fatigues. When did you all first hear about what was happening? Because it wasn't until you all confirmed what was happening that I knew that this was in fact really happening.
Yeah, federal officers started making an appearance at the protests, I guess you could say, around July 1st. And at that point, they were coming out and sort of clearing the protesters away from the federal courthouse. And then on July 4th, they made a really big show of force and cleared protesters away from the federal courthouse with tear gas and impact munitions, and then kept going into the park across the street in that city property, and then kept going beyond that. And they were joined then by Portland police and were clearing for multiple city blocks well past any federal property. And that was their first big show of force, where it was clear that they were going to be taking a more proactive role. And then the use of unmarked vehicles. We saw videos posted on Twitter of them driving around downtown late at night in unmarked minivans. And I started reaching out to people and, you know, looking for people who had been arrested, and came across Mark Pettibone and his story. You know, he was at a protest downtown, him and a friend, at about 2:30 in the morning, walking back to their car. And they bumped into a group on the way back to their car who told them that there had been a minivan driving around with guys in camouflage in it. About a half a block later, minivan pulls up, four or five guys jump out. They grab Mark, they pull a beanie down over his head so he can't see, and toss him in the van, hold his arms over his head, and drive him around for a little bit. And then he ends up getting unloaded inside a building, which later he would learn was the federal courthouse.
Jonathan, this feels, I'm not going to say it's unprecedented, because we're now, you know, today we have the use of video, which, you know, we hadn't had for much of our history. So, but this just feels bizarre. I mean, to use a word that we can use on public radio, to say the least, what is going on in Portland with these officers?
I mean, it does feel bizarre. I think that's an understatement, like you said. I was interviewing a freelance reporter here, Tuck Woodstock, getting their sense of what had been going on. And they said something interesting that actually really resonated, which is when the report of the minivans came out, they weren't super shocked. And that was because over the past 50 plus days, there had just been a steady escalation. You know, the Portland police stopped using their name tags on their uniforms, and they were using impact munitions and tear gas, and protesters had been severely injured. And then the federal police showed up and they started doing sort of more of the same. And so when these reports started coming out, it just felt like the next sort of incremental step. And it wasn't until, even for me, writing this story and seeing the response that I realized just how terrible it was.
You mentioned local police stopped using their name badges or started covering their names so they were unidentifiable. So this has been a slow escalation. Jonathan, who is directing this? Is this coming all the way from the top cop, if you will, Attorney General Bill Barr? Is it coming from local police departments? Is this a federal directive?
There are many chains of command at play here. I mean, when it comes to Portland police, it is certainly a local thing. It is the city that is in control. The name tags with Portland police, that is because they were concerned about their officers getting doxxed. Federal police, this was done in response to, the president signed an executive order on June 26th to protect statues and monuments and to address what he called criminal violence. In response to that, Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice sent federal officers to various cities in the country. I think it was Seattle, Washington, D.C., Gettysburg National Park in Pennsylvania, and Portland. And so what we are told is that when federal officers are responsible for federal property and city police are responsible for the city, and that when federal officers, when they're clearing city streets, that there are two totally separate chains of command, that Portland police chief is in charge of Portland police, and federal police are in charge of themselves. And so even when they're acting together, it's two separate chains of command.
But Jonathan, that still doesn't explain this idea of grabbing Americans off of the streets, stuffing them into the back of a van, and then throwing them into a federal courthouse without having explained why, what the charges are, what the grievances are, or any of that. This just feels, now the ACLU has been on the ground there calling this, quote, flat out unconstitutional. Tell me a little bit about the challenges to this behavior that are coming right now.
The mayor has said, you know, if the federal officers can't stay inside their buildings, then they should leave. The governor has said that their presence is a provocation. Oregon Senators Jeff Merkley and Ron Wyden have said that they are going to introduce an amendment to the defense bill this week to prevent what Senator Merkley called, I think he said, paramilitary soldiers in American cities or something along those lines. The Oregon Attorney General is opening an investigation into the U.S. Marshal who shot and severely injured a protester here with an impact munition, colloquially rubber bullets. They're actually, there's various forms. Some of them are little plastic munitions and some of them are larger, really hard foam rounds, and they cause severe damage. I mean, they've killed protesters, they've blinded protesters, they've, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to take anything away from Oregon state officials, but is that enough?
I mean, I think if for people on the ground here, once you start getting into these political machinations, right, and, you know, senators in D.C. doing their thing and the governor doing their thing, it does feel like quite an abstraction when every single night you're out there getting tear gassed and getting shot at. Is it enough? I know that, you know, last night there were still hundreds of people out protesting and, again, they got tear gassed. So nothing's changed so far.
Well, but getting tear gassed is different than getting picked up off of the street, shoved into the back of a van. I mean, are we still seeing that type of behavior too, what one of the officials called paramilitary behavior?
We, and this doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but we have not seen it happen since this story came out. At the same time, Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security Ken Cuccinelli did say that this is a tactic they use. He didn't disavow it. He didn't say that they're going to stop doing it.
Well, Cuccinelli, to that point, also said this is something that they use nationally, not just in Oregon.
Correct. Again, I haven't seen reports of it being used in other cities, but I would imagine if it is, that we would start hearing about it more.
Jonathan Levinson is a reporter for Oregon Public Broadcasting based in Portland. Jonathan, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Tanzina.